Today, we bring you part two of our discussion with Caroline Boland about the Realtor Code of Ethics. Caroline is a real estate instructor who's been teaching ethics for years in Southwest Florida. On this episode, she discusses some of the gray areas that can result in confusion in the business. That conversation starts right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today, as usual, with our producer, Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I am doing extremely well. How about you?
I am doing as well.
Really?
As well.
Really?
Well, as well. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Doing well.
All right.
I didn't mean to doubt you. I had to go double check inside my own head.
I don't mean to doubt you. But no, you're always in a good mood and upbeat, and that's one of the things I love about working with you.
Oh.
We have a guest here today, and by the way, this is the show where we talk about real estate, every single aspect of it. If you're a realtor especially, but if you're also a home buyer, a home seller, or live in a home, I think you'll get something of use from this particular show. So we thank you for finding us on your podcast machine, and we're going to get right into it because today we're going to continue a conversation we had with our previous guest. Her name is Caroline Boland. Caroline, welcome back.
Thank you. It's terrific to be here. Thank you for having me.
We are thrilled. Now, you may know Caroline if you're a realtor in the area because she is a real estate educator. She's also a licensed Florida real estate broker, and she's been in the business for about 12 years. And we want to get back to our discussion about ethics. In our last show, we talked about the Realtor Code of Ethics, which was adopted in 1913, and that's been around for a while. It's been adapted and revised and updated. And in fact, we've got some recent changes that I'll ask Caroline to outline for us in this show. But Caroline, let's jump right back into our discussion about the Code of Ethics. You had mentioned there are 17 articles in NAR's Realtor Code of Ethics or Code of Conduct. What's it called? Code of Conduct?
It's called, actually, the title is Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice of the National Association of Realtors.
Okay, got it. So the standards of practice are kind of, they delineate what each article says in a more granular fashion. Let's talk about some of those little details that are important to know about if you're a realtor.
Right on. Let's just start with Article 1. So just for example, so Article 1, the gist of Article 1 is to be honest and fair. When representing a buyer, seller, landlord, tenant, or other client as an agent, realtors pledge themselves to protect and promote the interests of their client. The obligation to the client is primary, but it does not relieve realtors of the obligation to treat all parties honestly. So one takes a look at that, and it is prefaced above with duties to clients and customers, and that says, you know, make sure you understand your correct agency relationship. If we were reading this or saying this specific to a Florida audience, it'd probably be customer. So Article 1 says, be honest and fair, and most people nod along and say, I know what that means, But let's take a look at a standard. So standards are really examples to help expand on the article. So standard 1.3 says realtors, and one thing I do like to point out is realtor is all capital letters trademark because this is a trade association, and by calling yourself the realtor, that means you belong to National Association of Realtors, in our case here, Florida Realtors, and then we're broadcasting here from Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. So standard of practice 1.3, realtors in attempting to secure a listing shall not deliberately mislead the owner as to the market value. So that goes back to the honesty and fairness. Now, let's realistically speaking, does every seller want to get the most amount possible for the sale of their home?
That's a fair
right?
Fair statement.
It doesn't matter what planet you're on, what state
pretty
you're
much
in, what country. Everybody wants the most.
Yeah.
we're in a very competitive business. So might that seller perhaps be swayed to the listing agent that says, I can get you more than anybody else? So what this is saying is, unless that's true,
demonstrably
you
true.
Don't say it. And we've all seen this happen. We call it an overpriced listing, right? Where no one is going to pay that much. And how do we figure out a house is worth what someone's willing to pay? And how do we begin to break that down from a data perspective? Well, we look at our MLS. We look at what we call doing a comp, right? We look at our past sales. We look at recent sales. We look at property appraiser records, courthouse records. There's all kinds of ways to have data factor into what that number should be. But if this is saying you're just going to come up with a high number because you want to essentially, you know, snowball this owner into saying, oh, that person's going to get me more, it might be disappointing. And we've probably, if you're a seasoned professional that's listening here, we've all seen those overpriced listings where you sit back and you just wait for the that listing to expire. And unfortunately, the seller wasn't given the best benefit of all the tools available in real estate, nor were they dealt with on an ethical fashion, because what this is basically saying is the agent just wanted the listing. Hmm. Now, one might say today, what is the highest number? Who knows? Because we're in a crazy market. But this is saying you're not using market value or statistics. You're just coming up with a number to try to persuade the seller to do something that's in your best interest versus theirs.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this is a crazy market right now. Unprecedented, you might say. but prices are very high right now compared to where they've been, up 20%+ year over year. I saw some NAR statistics just a couple of weeks ago that indicated the sellers are getting ready to come back to the market and list their homes. There's some pent up demand or pent up supply. But a lot of the sellers say, wow, I've seen my neighbor's house going for way more than he or I ever expected it to go to. I'm going to ask a price that's on par with that, but plus 10%. I'm going to ask a big, big number because the market's so crazy, I just might get it. So how does a realtor advise a client on that?
That might not be unethical if it's driven by the customer. And what you might say to the seller is, look, I think you're got pretty wild hopes here. But that really depends on the broker, because again, the sales associate shouldn't be making any decisions unless endorsed by the broker, because the sales associate's acting on behalf of the broker. But I might say, look, you know, I'd love for you to see you get that number too, but we're going to find out in short order. If we list it at that price and the phone doesn't ring for 2 weeks, we know we're overpriced. Do I have an agreement from you then to revisit the number? That's different because it's coming from the customer.
Okay.
And if it's met by a conversation with you, well, here's how we typically determine value, but you know, it really depends between the customer and the broker and of course the sales associate. But if the seller is saying to you, you know, gee, we, you know, all my neighbors are saying we can get top dollar, so what do you think? And I say, well, what did the last five guys tell you can get? Well, guess what? I bet I can get $50,000 more than them. And they go, what? Really? You know, and you see the difference here and where it's coming from. Mm. And again, reliance on data, you know, data, we call it poolside politics sometimes. You know, everybody learns about what's going on in their neighborhood or what your house is potentially worth by what some guy at the pool told you. But, mm-hmm. you know, the bottom line is document, document, document. How did you come to this number? So you don't want somebody later on saying, you told me I can get this much. This is a hot market. No one looked at my house and now we've lost valuable marketing time. You'd want to be able to show, no, we discussed the comps, we looked at this, here's what you looked at. But if you haven't done that, one could say that you were not acting in the best interest of the customer.
Hmm. Right.
How about another one here? This is interesting here. This is Article 4. Now, sometimes people misinterpret this. This, again, still falls under that duties to clients and customers. Realtors shall not acquire an interest in or buy or present offers from themselves, any member of their immediate families, their firms, or any member thereof, or any entities in which they have any ownership interest, any real property, without making their true position known to the owner or the owner's agent or broker. in selling property they own or in which they have any interest. Realtors shall reveal their ownership or interest in writing to the purchaser or the purchaser's representative. What's the standard of practice? So that says, and so many people, when we talk about this in class, say, what do you mean I can't sell my own property? That's why I got a license. No, you can sell your own property, but let's look at standard of practice 4.1. For the protection of all parties, the disclosures required by Article 4 shall be in writing and provided by realtors prior to the signing of any contract. Hmm. And that's been around since 1986. So it's just saying, again, disclose. It's fairness. There's no obligation or legal requirement to use an attorney in a real estate transaction in Florida. But if you're selling property and you're saying, I'm the agent and I'm the owner, that other party, that buyer, and even if that buyer is represented by an agent, they might feel they're a little bit at a disadvantage because you know more, this is your property. I might want to bring in the appropriate resources, which might mean I might want a lawyer to look at this. I might want to discuss it with a financial advisor. Who knows? It's not saying you can't, but it's right. Just saying be fair and put that out there. But they gave you an example of what that means, which just says, I'm disclosing to you that I'm licensed.
Does this same article cover situations like selling a distressed property where maybe there's been a murder or some?
I shouldn't laugh. You shouldn't.
No.
My bad.
No.
He says
we're
murder.
Against
I
murder
laugh.
Here.
I'm sorry here.
It.
But great topic. Okay, Jim, that is one of the number one questions that come up in class, and it's quite controversial. In Florida, there is no legal requirement to disclose a death in the property. So let's talk about the legal aspect, because we mentioned earlier we've got, you know, parallel train tracks here. We've got the legality and the ethics. Legally, there is no requirement to disclose a death. Now, this comes up constantly in class. I know that's what the law says, but I would be upset if I bought a house and I learned somebody had died in the home, or if there was a crime in the home. And sometimes people have certain beliefs. Listen, I get asked if houses are haunted. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I really don't know how I believe. If it were Casper, I'd be okay with that. But other ghosts, maybe not so much.
No, he's friendly.
Then I've had, I still remember the class, a woman was in class and she was from New Orleans. And she said, listen, they love that stuff in New Orleans.
That's right.
If you can say, you know, something wild and haunted and voodoo-ish had happened in the home, you're amping the value. So what happens, and I still remember the one class, we had quite a heated discussion, and there was a woman that was mentioning, you know, I've got a listing, and I know a death had occurred there, and the seller is telling me, I do not legally have to disclose it. I do not want you talking about it. And she said, but my ethical compass says every buyer should know. Well, we've got a whole host of issues here. And first of all, it really should begin with the broker, because you're representative of that brokerage. And if you violate the law in terms of that listing, you've put yourself and your broker in hot water. In terms of the ethical compass here, you're supposed to act in your customer's best interest, and you feel it's in your best interest, but not theirs. The conclusion we came to as a group, and it was really interesting, we really took this and ran with it. This isn't the listing for you. You don't necessarily want every customer. Refer it. You know, if nothing else, okay. keep a piece of it. But sure. If this is causing you such inner turmoil, and this is the perfect definition of ethics. You know, think about many instances through our lives where, yeah, it might be legal, it might be okay, but I don't feel great being here. Then that's you telling yourself, this isn't the place for me. And that's A1 perfectly okay. But a lot of times it turns into, you know, somewhat of an argument in class. Well, we should have to disclose. But you're fighting the law. We're not fighting ethics here. And why? I don't know. And I know California, it's a requirement, not Florida. And it always brings a very, you know, and you know, if there was something that went down, the neighbor's going to be the first one over, you know, with the freshly baked apple pie. And by the way, you know.
Yeah, that's Gladys Kravitz
but
coming
yeah,
over.
You know yeah. It. But it's And that's what ethics is meant to do, is in many ways provoke a reaction. And sure. You don't want to take every single customer you can. I know people, well, that's how I get paid. But there's sometimes it's not a good fit.
Gotcha.
Great, great question.
All right, Caroline, we're up against a very quick break here. So if you'll hang in there with us for another minute, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Vince Mottarelli from Habitat for Humanity of Lee and Henry Counties. You're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Sandra Aguilar, President of the Women's Council of Realtors Cape Coral Fort Myers, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With 2 convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast here in Fort Myers, Florida at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. We're talking with Caroline Boland today. She is an expert in the area of ethics, especially as ethics pertain to the real estate business. And boy, do they pertain. It's a business that's really rooted in ethical treatment of everyone around you. So Caroline teaches a course in ethics, and we're going to get back into our discussion about that. So Caroline, we were talking before the break about some of the articles in the Code of Ethics and the Standards of Practice. Go on with some of the more interesting details from the Standards of Practice, if you will, please.
Sure. Well, I'm going to jump to Article 15, which is duties to realtors, meaning other folks that are a member just as you are, and doesn't just mean a member at this association, but any realtor association. And I know this one prompts calls to the associations. Article 15, realtors shall not knowingly or recklessly make false or misleading statements about other real estate professionals, their businesses, or their business practices.
Recklessly or knowingly.
Yeah. Keywords. So obviously, well, what does that really mean? So let's look at Standard of Practice 15.2. So again, every standard is meant to add more. the obligation to refrain from making false or misleading statements about other real estate professionals, their businesses, and their business practices include the duty to not knowingly or recklessly publish, repeat, retransmit, or republish false or misleading statements made by others. This duty applies whether false or misleading statements are repeated in person, in writing, by technological means. And they put in parentheses, for example, the internet. Okay, remember this started in 1913.
So, fax, okay.
Or by any other means. The article was adopted in 2007, amended in 2012. So I think we're probably going to be seeing more about this, because think about, even since 2012, what are ways of transmitting information that's, you know, we've got now TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, you know, things that weren't around in 2012.
The metaverse, and, too. Don't forget the metaverse.
That's right. That's right. The most important name change. You know, you just don't, you know, and it's one of these things, really, there needs to be an article, but, and kind of the rule of thumb is, if you can't come up with any reason why someone should list with you other than by bashing everyone else, you know, you might need to work on your skill set. But bottom line is, you know, it's a rough business. It's a competitive business. Folks are independent contractors. They get paid when they sell, and you know, you just want to go down there, but there can be ramifications if you do. And again, if an ethics complaint is lodged, both parties have the opportunity to provide evidence, supporting documentation to either affirm or deny. But it's absolutely serious. And what can really happen? Well, what can happen is you can lose your privileges, your membership privileges. You can be fined a monetary amount. You can be required to take extra training. The brokerage could also be at risk, because the brokerage employs you, and if it's determined there's a lack of oversight and you've knowingly exhibited reckless behavior, you just don't want to go there.
Yeah, but Freck would want to know about that, huh?
Well, Freck has to do with legal issues, because that's the Florida Real Estate Commission. So, and a lot of times, there can be crisscross between ethical and legal issues.
Sure.
But there is a legal hotline that is here in Florida. It's by Florida Realtors, and it's an absolutely terrific resource. It's operated out of Orlando, and a lot of legal questions. And in fact, there's a great course that comes around every so often. It's the top 10 questions posed to the legal hotline, and their attorneys do the course. It's really great stuff, but they'll be the first to say the majority of the calls they get really are ethics issues.
Really? And they don't handle those?
Well, it's not a legal issue, and they'll tell you how to handle it. You go to your board and you start the process, and you know, whether that begins with lodging a complaint, perhaps meeting with the ombudsman. The grievance committee takes a look at it. If grievance committee then pushes it on to professional standards, that essentially means, well, it's game on. Now we've got a situation that's going to require participation. And also, it is part of the standards or the articles that you must participate in any sort of allegation, whether you're called as a witness or as a defendant, so to speak.
Now, these proceedings are always private, right? They're not public.
They are private, and they're lengthy. Because, again, they're managed by committees, and the committees aren't, you know, there's not a bat phone. There's not some red phone that lights up and says, we've got an emergency ethics complaint. It takes a while, but it is a process. But if you were accused, let's just be fair, you would want that process respected as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a snap judgment or a quick fix, but I'd like to think, you know, more conversation, more broker involvement, you know, just more education will prevent it from getting to that level.
Do various real estate boards and entities receive complaints on time, sometimes that are unfounded and just based on frivolous accusations that may have resulted from personality conflicts? Does that happen a lot?
Absolutely, all the time. They might get a, I used an example earlier, but the realtor doesn't return my phone call fast enough. Well, you know, let's break that down. The realtor was rude to me. You know, they weren't, you know, they were late to their meeting. You get all kinds of things.
I didn't like the truth that he told me.
Well, and yeah, you can't handle the truth. But yeah, it's, you know what, and just think of anything that's complaint driven. I don't know if I like to read movie reviews and restaurant reviews, and you know, sometimes people bash a restaurant because they couldn't get a good parking place. Sure. You know, what did that have to do with your steak? You know, but that's just kind of the way of the world. So that's why these processes are in place, to try to sift through. You know, and that's the ombudsman. The ombudsman is essentially the peacekeeper. Well, can someone talk to you and maybe smooth things over? But mm-hmm. I like to say, before you get your association involved, get your broker involved. You're not being a tattletale. You're not being a weakling. But it's using the support of your licensure and your broker's licensure. And maybe, you know, just having the parties go out for coffee or whatever and clear the
just
air.
Just hug it out. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, you two.
That's the, you
your
know
brothers.
It.
Come
you
on.
Know it. Yeah, exactly. So all kinds of things, and you know, that's why the articles as well as the standards are meant to guide you towards, you know, the root of whatever the beef may be, or just in terms of accepted practice. You know, there's another article, this one's great because it happens all the time. If you're doing a great job, and listen, this is 100% a relationship business, people tend to lean on you. You're helping them buy a house. Well, gee, do you know a good roofer? You know, is the you think I'm okay signing this contract? Would you read the HOA docs and see if it sounds okay to you? And I don't know, how many years do you think the roof has left in it? You know, they're asking you questions that are pushing you out of your lane. Mm. Kevin Hart says it all the time. Stay in your lane, you know, and staying in your lane says you're not going to be an attorney. You're not going to be an accountant. You're not going to be a roofer. You know, you can only be the source of the source. And as much as we like to be helpful, and sometimes it's a bit flattering when someone comes to you for advice, don't. If the advice is outside of your licensure of real estate, you run the risk of an ethical violation and also of ruining a good relationship.
Sure. Now, I imagine that realtors are hit frequently with a question from buyers. Is this a good neighborhood? Is it safe here? And I know you're not supposed to tell me, and you should tell me to go to the county sheriff's crime mm-hmm. statistics bureau, but between you and me.
That's a great question, but that gets beyond ethics. That gets you into a federal violation. If your definition of good neighborhood, safe neighborhood has anything to do with race, religion, color, sex, national origin, familial status, or handicap, that means you have violated federal fair housing. And if you really want to put yourself in a world of hurt, violate a federal law. Mm. So, and again, you want to be the source of the source. So if you tell folks, you know what, you can look at the sheriff's department website, the school district website, you know, talk to folks, but opinions get you in trouble. You know, opinions and elbows, we all have them and they both stink. I think you've probably heard something similar to that before. But, you know, yeah, sorry,
sure,
yeah,
sure,
I
sure.
know this is a podcast, but they're both sniffing their elbows right now. But, bottom line is, you know, it's, you wanted to keep your professionalism because opinions are trouble.
Right.
And one can take that opinion and construe it. If it's construed in any sort of discriminatory manner, when you potentially have a housing and urban development or federal violation on your tail, you've got much, much, much bigger problems in the code of ethics.
Now, speaking not necessarily about the federal level, but if a realtor is accused, charged, or whatever the term is, for violating the code of ethics, the worst that could happen, I think, is that they'll lose their license and ability to pursue their profession. But are there fines or other
further
punishment?
Well, not necessarily lose their license, but they can lose their membership because, you know, that's a different topic. Remember, losing your license is a legal issue.
Oh,
losing
yeah.
your membership's
okay.
an ethical. But yes, on the basic level, you know, it could be a monetary fine. And that could be to the associate and the broker. It could be added coursework. You need to take more classes. You need to repeat your code of ethics.
After school, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time that's going to detract from, hopefully, you know, doing what you set out to do is good real estate. So
it's going to be pretty rare, though, that people are violating ethical codes, right?
I can honestly say, personally, I have filed one ethics complaint in my career, mm-hmm. and it took 10 months to resolve.
10 months?
And
that's typical?
I don't know. It wasn't, in my opinion, it was pretty egregious, and my thought was it was probably going on a lot, and I attempted to involve the broker, and the broker had no interest in resolving it. So I said, well, I'm going to see how this works. And many, many times throughout the process, as I'm filling out forms and making copies, and I'm thinking, I don't have time for this, I wanted to see how it would end. And it actually ended with the associate and the broker both being required to take added classes, monetary fines. And the funny thing was that they were both required to take their ethics course again. And I thought, well, why don't you add in there taught by me, and then I'll probably be an added kick in the pants. But, you know, we didn't go that far, and that wouldn't be too ethical of me to suggest
that. I wrote the syllabus on ethics.
And again, I'm a member too. I didn't write the code. I'm a member, and I enjoy teaching, and it is a process to be approved to teach the Code of Ethics through the Realtor Association. And, you know, I'm a member too, so I'm not above this and I'm not beside it. I'm a part of it just as much as everybody else. So the rules apply to me, and I find the conversation. And, you know, when you spend time in a room, we are colleagues. You know, the MLS calls it cooperating brokerage. Yes, we're competitors, but we have to work together. And I find it a very, very good time spent together, and really uplifting that so many folks want to do the very best for everybody in the business and enjoy a profession unlike any other.
Sure, sure. All right. We're running a little bit low on time here, Caroline. Are there any other points you'd like to make sure we get in that people really need to know about in the real estate business?
Just be involved and be engaged, and, you know, read those articles that you get. Attend classes, not just for the CE, but for your own personal development, the great folks you're going to meet, and you'll never walk out of a class without something new in your pocket. And so many associations around the country are just doing great work and trying to provide all kinds of different topics of interest through different, through live, through webinar, through Zoom, whatever. And, you know, you pay for your membership, you belong, squeeze the most out of it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Hey, where can people get more information about the Code of Ethics and or even contact you?
Well, the Code of Ethics, you can easily Google National Association of Realtors Code of Ethics. If you belong to a realtor association, just give your association a call, and they can tell you about the next class or any publications. If you read your Florida Realtor, if you're in Florida, or a Realtor magazine, there's usually a case study in there. And anybody that would like to contact me, just give the folks here at RPCRA a call, and I'm sure they'll put you in touch, and I'd love to chat with you. And if you're listening and you see me the next time in a class, come on up and say you heard us on the Palmcast. We'd love to hear about that.
Oh, very good, very good. Hey, Caroline, thanks so much again for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
All right. Jerry, thank you for doing a great job on the board today.
Oh, do the best I can.
Always.
Had a great time.
You do a good job.
I do.
I also want to let you folks know that we appreciate your listening and finding us on your podcast machine. And if you find some value in the show and know some like-minded individuals, we would appreciate it if you would pass the word along to them about the Royal Podcast. I want to thank our CEO, Beata Jones, and our staff here at RPCRA for their support and encouragement. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast, we invite you to do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time. Again, thanks for listening, everyone. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.